safe to say that we would all like to improve our lives. What can you do to improve the life that you live? Some people go these days on what they call mindfulness courses. Some people try and practice the meditation techniques associated with yoga. But life is more than just the heart beating. It's more than just the mind functioning. We feel that there ought to be something that makes our life significant. Something to live for. Something worthwhile to get us out of bed in the morning. Many people despair of life because they question what their life is for. Others want to live life and they say to fulfill their life's potential. As you get older, you begin to realize that you've already lived the greater part of your life. Things like your job, your family and friends, that all helps to make your life feel significant. Life is a very important theme in John's Gospel. When we started John's Gospel last week, I mentioned to you that it would be a useful exercise to read through John's Gospel and underline every time it said, believe. You could do the same thing. It would be an equally useful exercise to underline the word life. John's Gospel is full of life, and in connection with Jesus Christ, he speaks of that eternal life that the Lord Jesus Christ offers. So John begins this theme of life by saying in verse 4, in him, in Christ, was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Now, on another occasion, I will want to revisit verse 3, but for now, I want to look at Jesus Christ as the life. And we see in this gospel that there's a very important connection between believing and having life. We said that the key to John's gospel was given by John himself in chapter 20 and verse 31, where it says, these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and by believing you may have life in his name. So John's gospel, like all the other gospels, they're actually written with an agenda. John doesn't want you to pick up his gospel and say, well, that's a very nice read. Glad to hear about Nicodemus and the woman at the well. John wants you to pick up this gospel, and as a result of reading it, that you might believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Now, we said last time that sometimes Christians say, oh, if this is a gospel about believing, I'm already a believer, and so it doesn't really apply to me that much. It might be good as an evangelistic talk to reach out to those who are not Christians. The vast majority of the people that Christ is speaking to in John's gospel, they are already believers, and Jesus wants them to believe. And that's important for us. The most significant thing that we can do for the community around us is to allow them to see us believing. When the believers believe, that has a huge impact upon those who are looking on. So life is important. He wants us to believe in order that you might have life in his name. Jesus in chapter 14 and verse 6 declares himself to be the life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So if we do not come to Jesus, we cannot come to the Father. If we do not come to Jesus, we cannot have life, at least in the way that John is describing life here. In chapter 5 and verse 40, he berated the people. He said, yet you refuse to come to me and have life. Is it possible for us as Christians to fail to come to him to have life? He wants us to have life and to have life to the full. Unless we have Christ, then we will fall far short of the life that God intended us to have. When we do come to Christ, he will give us life. He said in chapter 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it to the full. I have come to give them life, abundant life, life to the full. The words life and the word to live occurs over 50 times in this gospel. So it's a very important theme for John. So what does John mean when he says that Jesus is the life? What does he mean? Or what did Jesus mean when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life? What does he mean? Jesus is the source of all life. He's the giver of physical life. And John's use of the title, the word, and his opening phrase in the beginning takes us back to the creation narrative in Genesis chapter 1. And through the word, the creation was spoken into existence. God said, let there be light, and there was light. So God is the source of physical light. Our physical life comes from God through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, because God made us in his own image. Our humility is that we are made from the dust of the earth, but our dignity is that we are made in the image of God. We should hold the life of every human being as sacred. Not because of the Black Lives Matter movement or the Me Too movement, but because of the biblical teaching that we are all made in the image of God. Some argue that the idea that we are made in the image of God, that that's not a sufficient enough idea to combat the problems of racism and sexism. I want to argue with them that it is sufficient for protecting the dignity of life in every area. It's probably more sufficient than many people would want, more significant than many would even acknowledge. If we really embrace this truth that every human being is made in the image of God, then it is sufficient to protect the dignity of the unborn child, sufficient to protect the dignity of people, and to condemn all forms of sexism, sufficient to protect the dignity of women in our churches, in the workplace, and in society, protecting the lives of the elderly, for the prohibition against any person who would take their own life, because it is God who is the giver of life, and he is the one who takes it away. We are made in the image of God, and that's the most significant factor in the promoting of the dignity of all human life. Our physical life and the life of every other person is important because that life was given to them by the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether they believe in Christ or not does not matter. The Bible teaches us that through the Lord Jesus Christ, that God the Father brought this being into existence, this whole world into existence. But John's understanding of life is not limited to just physical life. Just as Jesus is the source of physical life, so he is also the source of our spiritual life. We receive that spiritual life when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, without Christ, there's something missing from our lives. Now, I don't want to suggest that life is entirely empty without Christ. It is spiritually empty, but in common grace, God permits us to enjoy the common things of life. We can enjoy, all of us can enjoy our relationships with our family and friends. We can enjoy the beauty of creation. We can enjoy a walk along a beach, a walk in the mountains or in the country, or in one of the many parks that we have here in London. We can enjoy looking at architecture, listening to music, looking at art, going to the theatre, watching drama, taking part in or watching sport. We enjoy our hobbies, and some people enjoy their work. So we need to be careful when we're describing the lives of unconverted people, as there will be many things that they can say that gives them a great sense of satisfaction when they're doing those things. But however much we immerse ourselves in the good things of this life, there is something lacking. St. Augustine said, "You have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until we find our rest in you." And you can read of Augustine's struggles to find peace with God in his book that he called his Confessions. Spiritual life is so vital that the Bible describes us, if we're outside of Christ, the Bible describes us as spiritually dead. Dead unto God, dead unto hope, dead in our trespasses and in our sins. The Apostle Paul points this out in Ephesians chapter 2. He said, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in trespasses, dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. We who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ have been made alive in Christ." This is the spiritual life. Our sin has left us in a state where we are not able to help ourselves spiritually. James Montgomery Boyce, in his commentary on John's Gospel, says that apart from Christ, no one has ever breathed one breath toward God, nor had one spiritual heartbeat. Because we're dead in our transgressions, we're dead in our sins, and we need new life. That is why Jesus says that we must be born again. Being dead spiritually doesn't mean that all people are as wicked as they can possibly be. In common grace, God grants governments to us to restrain society, to educate people, and to punish those who will break the law. But irrespective of the degree of corruption that any one person has sunk to, the Bible describes all of us, when we are without Christ, we are dead in our sins. We cannot take away our sins. We cannot make amends for our sins because we are spiritually dead. There's nothing we can do towards God. We need Christ, the life-giving Spirit, to create that new life within us. The life that Jesus gives is not just a gift that enables us to live life better here upon earth. Now, it does help us live life better because Christ brings us into fellowship and communion with our Heavenly Father. But Jesus gives us better life than the life here upon earth. He gives us much more because the life that he gives is not just spiritual life, it is eternal life. Eternal life is not something that you ever lose. We don't have to wait until after we die to find out if the life that we have is eternal. Once Christ gives us spiritual life, we know that that life is eternal because we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Eternal life is a life that knows no end. It is a life lived forever in the presence of God, in fellowship with God forever, living with God without failing him, living with God without ever doubting again. In 1 John 5, John says, and this is the testimony, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Christ is central to the spiritual life that we live. The life that Jesus gives us is life to the full, abundant life. Many Christians live miserable lives, living always having a complaint about one thing or another. We are actually meant to have joy, and our lives should be a blessing to other people. But not only is John describing life here, he also describes light. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." What does Jesus mean? What does John mean when he describes Christ as the light? He means that Jesus, the one who knows the God the Father, makes God known to us. By Christ's light, we understand spiritual truths. Quite often we say things like, I just can't understand that thing. I can't get any light on it at all. So we use the term often. Before Christ came into this world, the people lived in darkness. He revealed the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. To describe God as light, that would have been a familiar enough theme to the people who knew their Old Testament. The psalmist in Psalm 27 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" In Psalm 36, he says, "For with you is the fountain of light, of life. In your light, we see light." In Psalm 104, "Praise the Lord, my soul. Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. The Lord wraps himself in light. As with a garment, he stretches out the heavens like a tent." And in John's first letter, he says in chapter 1 and verse 5, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all." So without the light of Christ, there is no sufficient understanding of sin and no sufficient understanding of salvation. When you say to someone, "You need to be saved," quite often they will look at you with, "What do you mean saved? Saved from what?" Saved from sin. They have got no concept of sin. If you've got no concept of sin, you can't see a reason why salvation is needed. You see, without Christ, there's no full understanding of sin, no understanding of salvation. We use the light of a torch to help us find our way or to see more clearly what we're looking at. So it's entirely appropriate that John uses this metaphor to describe the Lord Jesus Christ. By the coming of Christ, he exposed the darkness that was in the world. By the coming of Christ, he exposed the darkness that was in our hearts. Of course, humanity does not like the light because it loves darkness. I remember as a child asking an older relative why he didn't go to church. He said he didn't like anyone preaching down at him. We don't like to be told that we're wrong. As long as we are not exposed to Christ, we can think perhaps that we're doing all right. Many will say, I've lived a good life. I don't do anyone any harm. I help people out when I can. And if God is a God of love, if he is a loving God, he will surely let me into heaven when I die because I really have done no harm. But if the light of God's word shines upon a heart like that, they begin to see and understand how far they fall short of the glory of God. Our lives doesn't match God's standard. And the light exposes that darkness. Once we acknowledge our need and our darkness, then we can embrace the offer of salvation that is freely made in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul could say, God made Christ who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Christ comes to us and he makes a change. We are given the righteousness of God. He takes our sin and he gives us his righteousness. And the light of Christ, of course, cannot be overcome by the darkness. Today, Christians are told to be shining lights, to let their light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We are witnesses. We are lights, if you like, that we have seen the light, and we can share that light with other people. We bring the light of the good news to people's hearts so that by the light of the gospel they can see their need that they have, and they can see that if they come to Christ, he will give them this spiritual life, this eternal life. He will forgive them for their sins. When we become Christians, we always have the light of Christ with us. Through God's word, we have a light to shine upon the path that we walk. Later in John's gospel, he will tell us about Jesus, the giver of life. As he stands beside the grave of Lazarus, he raises Lazarus from the dead. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. And he asked his listeners, do you believe this? John records the story of the blind man having received his sight. From birth, this blind man had lived in darkness, not able to see. And then he meets the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's able to see because Christ gives light and life. Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, or Nicodemus came to ask the Lord Jesus Christ some questions. The Lord Jesus Christ ignored the question that Nicodemus asked, and he got right to the heart of the matter. You must be born again. And Jesus said, apart from the new birth, no one can see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus was no fool. He was an incredibly well-schooled, educated person. He was well taught in the Old Testament and in the many religious traditions. But though he had all this religion, and he had all this knowledge of the Old Testament, he himself knew that there was something lacking, something missing in his life. He knew by the Lord's reputation that here was a great individual who must have come from God, because no one could do the things that he does unless God has sent him. And he comes after having lived a long life, a long religious life, a good life. He comes inquiring to see, to be taught by the younger Christ. He's confused about the new birth. But then, as he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ at nighttime in his darkness, he comes to the one who can give him this new birth and make him alive unto God. Nicodemus, who is dead in his trespasses and in his sins, he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, and Christ tells him about this new birth that he needs. He was the issue of not being able to see and understand the kingdom of God. It wasn't a matter of his lack of intelligence or his lack of study. He knew he was spiritually in the dark, and he came to the Lord Jesus Christ to find the answer to his most important longing. Something missing. He had lived a long life, and he had enthusiastically entered into his study, but yet he still knew that there was something missing. And that's the way it is with us. Yes, we want to have life, a fulfilled life. We want to enjoy our hobbies. We want to enjoy culture. And it is right that we invest time in that to enjoy those things that God has given us. But more important than them all is the spiritual life that we live. John has written this gospel in order that we might believe, that we might believe more in Christ, that our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ might expand. The Lord Jesus Christ is the giver of life. He's the giver of light. And let us be thankful that we as believers have seen the light. And if you've never seen that light, there's an invitation from Christ to come to him and have your sins forgiven. To allow the light of the gospel to illuminate the darkness that is in your heart so that you see that your sin separates you from God. But because of what Christ has done on the cross, that sin may be taken away and we can have life and liberty and we can live life to the full, which is life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth that he might go to the cross to die. We thank you for the light that he shines in upon our hearts to give us understanding. We thank you, our God, that you made us understand our sin and you made us embrace that wonderful gift of salvation. And Father, we thank you for the life that we live in Christ, that life is eternal. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.